Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the president is shifting more customs agents to the southern border, and it's causing some serious backups for customs clearance at our airports. And we'll tell you about cruises where you can visit Game of Thrones sites.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, we talk about the realities of basic economy tickets. Now, it seems a lot of folks are opting for these cheaper fares only to find out that what they bought wasn't what they needed.
Are you a traveler who loves trains? Maybe you'd enjoy a trip across Canada by rail, or perhaps you're a river buff. Maybe you might like to be along the shores of the mighty Mississippi. Canada Coast to Coast and Old Man River are the names of these two adventures, and tour director, road reporter Clayton Whitehead will tell you how you can join him on one or both at 3:35.
As the travel and entertainment guys, we're always eager to share Sacramento show news. Richard Lewis joins us at 3:50. We're going to talk about the new Broadway series in Sacramento and updates on the temporary move to the Memorial Auditorium for next season.
We only have an hour and the clock is ticking. Let's get on the road. Thank you for joining us. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Look to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
Sakes, look what you found on your radio. It's the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. It's a pleasure that you're there and that we're standing upright. And
it's a pleasure that we're here.
And we're here.
You and
got
whatever
that,
it
right?
is on your radio, just go get a rag and clean that off, wipe that off there before it, you know, because some of that stuff will run and get down into the radio. And, you know, if you're listening on your phone, it'll get into your charger. Anyways, welcome to the Travel Guys, Tom. It's good to see you.
Thank you. You know, this is a serious radio show, and you just got really weird on me there for a second
it's,
or two.
Every once in a while it gets serious, but I'm told by the people who listen to the program that it's a lot more fun to listen to when it's less serious.
How about them Sharks?
That, you know, this is a travel show, but that's a hockey game. They have 4 goals in less than 4 minutes in the fourth period of an elimination game. What a terrific job.
You know, all of us non-hockey fans are really enjoying this. Talk
yeah.
about, you know, Johnny-come-latelys or bandwagoners. Mm-hmm. I am definitely on that one for hockey this
time. The Sharks
around.
And the Warriors are moving on. The Banditos Yankees are down at Telephone Company and Computer Ballpark this weekend, and so a lot going on. But meanwhile, in the travel world,
well, let's get to it. At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. So with that being said, let's call on Huey and the boys to bring us up to date on the news.
Huey and the news. All right. As we mentioned in the headlines here, the president has decided to change the staffing a little bit. He is moving some customs officers down to border sites. And the challenge with that is that it is some of those officers are coming from the places where you are processed when you're entering the country. So it's creating bigger lines coming into the country. So a couple of things to think about. If you've got clear, which is the thing that allows you to bypass those lines when you're coming back in. Now, this is not TSA PreCheck. This is something entirely different. It's called clear. And if you travel internationally, this might be something if you're going more than once or twice a year that you're going to want to consider. Also, if you're traveling internationally, what's happening with these now with these unpredictable delays at inbound U.S. airports, you're coming in and you've got a connection. And if you're smart, you've allowed two and a half hours, maybe even 3 hours for your connection, just in case customs is a little slower than usual. And what's happening is that these delays in some cases have been so great that masses of people are missing connecting flights. So this is causing kind of a challenge. So my wisdom to you with all of this to make you a smarter traveler is be very careful for a while, at least. As long as this restaffing is going on, be very careful about booking tight international inbound connections where you have to clear customs in this country. Now, Canada, you clear customs in Canada. So when you get in the United States, you walk off the plane and you're already in the country. Okay. You've already been cleared. We have a group in Ireland right now. They clear customs in Ireland before they come back. So there are a few countries where you clear on the other side of the pond.
How do you find that out ahead of time as to where you're going to be cleared?
You go to travelguysradio.com and we will put a link there that will tell you where you can get pre-cleared and not pre-cleared getting into customs. But the reality is that for most people coming inbound, particularly folks that are not U.S. citizens, they're going to have a delay. So if you know somebody who's planning an international trip in the foreseeable future, I'm going to suggest to you that 3 or 4 hours layover is probably good. You might even consider the possibility of an overnight at an airport hotel or something and then going out the next day. That way there's no pressure. No matter how long it takes you to get through customs, you'll be okay and you can go back to the airport the next day. Just something to think about if you're an international traveler until this staffing situation, till they hire some more people so that they can be in two places at once, in essence. Something fun is going to happen in Chicago coming up. The Simon and Garfunkel story is going to make its pre-Broadway debut in Chicago. So all of the music that Simon and Garfunkel did, it's going to come up later this year, November 19th, December 1st, 2 weeks in Chicago at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. So if you are interested, if you liked the music of Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel, who are both getting, I saw Paul Simon is 77.
There you go.
So I don't know how old Art Garfunkel is. I don't remember if he was younger or older, but nonetheless, an opportunity to hear their music. A new museum has opened in Japan.
Okay.
It's a pop-up poop museum.
Oh, no.
You knew there had to be something salacious in here.
Yeah. Pop-up poop museum. I'm just trying to imagine what that would be.
UNKO, UNKO, in case I'm mispronouncing,
yeah,
which is the Japanese word for poop.
Okay.
And so it's in Yokohama, 25 miles south of Tokyo. They have already had 10,000 visitors.
The museum is pop-up, right?
Yes, the museum, it's a pop-up museum.
Yeah, it's a temporary. Okay.
There you go, a temporary museum. So if you're headed to Yokohama and you're interested in something really unique and different, that would be really unique and different.
I think I'll wait for it to pop up in my neighborhood.
If you go to travelguysradio.com, you can click on a link that will give you a guide to eating vegan and vegetarian at Disney facilities.
Okay.
Disney has created it's traveling while you're vegan is kind of tough sometimes, but the good news for vegans and vegetarians is that Walt Disney World has created a guide that will tell you where in the park you can go to get the kind of food that you like. So I think that is a pretty darn cool idea.
They'll probably be serving Beyond Meat. Have you heard about that?
Beyond Meat?
Yeah, Beyond Meat is about to...
I heard about the Impossible Burger.
Well, this is very, very similar. They probably are even more popular. They're going to be able to buy shares on the stock market sooner than later.
I'm going to try one of these Impossible Burgers because I have a friend who is not a vegetarian who got one by mistake. He was with a vegetarian person. They served the two got flipped and he didn't know. And he was a bite and a half into it, he said, before his friend said, "Hey, I think you've got looks like real meat.
Right.
I think you've got my hamburger." And he said, "I didn't know the difference." So there you are. You can visit the Game of Thrones locations on a variety of cruises on a mega yacht. Game of Thrones, of course, into its final season. This is kind of cool. This yacht goes to Croatia, Reykjavik, Seville, Spain. You can the crew to passenger ratio, which is how you judge service on ships, is only 2-1, which is indeed spectacular. I can only imagine what the prices might be. There's a whole list of cruises that you can take. If you go to travelguysradio.com, there is a list of them there and you can find out. You can go to all the Game of Thrones.
That's some website, you know. lots of cool stuff.
Travelguysradio.com. Cruise ship doctors are saying that many hungover passengers claim they're seasick when actually they're just hungover. You'll notice people who suffer the most are the ones who are in the bar knocking back mojitos at 2 a.m. the previous night, said Ben McFarlane, who is a cruise ship medical expert. He said, "You see these people who come and they say, 'No, I never have hangovers. I'm prone to migraines and things like that.' And suddenly they're out on the ship. ship, and he says, you know, if you look around, those are the folks who... So next time you're on the cruise ship, and a cruise ship docker should suggest fried garlic and pork to someone who is seasick, you'll know what he means. He's just trying to get them back in a line. Marriott, we talked last week about Marriott Hotels trying to secure a better commission rate with Expedia, and we also talked about United Airlines doing the same thing. Those have been settled, so you can expect that all that stuff will stay up on the Expedia website. Remember that we suggest to you using third-party websites just to find the best rate, then go to the United or Marriott website and book it directly. You will find if you have any customer service issues down the road, they will be lessened by the fact, hopefully, that you have booked directly with the vendor. And that's your travel news for today.
And coming up next on the Travel Guys, our portion of the program where we make it exclusively about making you a smarter traveler. And we're going to talk about those basic economy tickets. Are they a deal or is somebody sticking it to you? That's next on the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Hope your Sunday is going well. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. By the way, if you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, links to Sports Leisure Vacations, as well as all the stuff we talk about here on the radio program, can be found there. And, Mark, we've been telling people that we're going to make them smarter travelers in regards to those basic economy fares. Let's start by talking about who these basic economy fares are for.
They're for people who... Every penny counts. Every nickel makes a difference. And if the ticket, you know, when these first came out, a $350 ticket was $330 on basic economy. Now a basic economy ticket on a $350 fare could be $310 or $300 or maybe even $295. And so a lot of people are going, well, heck, people who would never have looked at these fares are saying, well, that's a $50 difference. What do I give up? And if you're someone who's willing to sit in a middle seat and you don't normally carry on a full-size carry-on and... You know, you're okay with wherever you land on the plane. Everybody, the plane gets there at the same time for everybody. Some people get on a few minutes earlier and some a few minutes later. Those people are buying the tickets. Now what's happening, though, is I see in the airport who the people are in the last group, because you can watch the gate next to you, you know, as they load their plane while your plane's waiting to load. And you can see who the people are in the last group. And before, it was mostly students and young people and folks who obviously were on a travel budget. But now it doesn't look like that at all. And I'm seeing from Chris Elliott's website and other travel advocate websites where people who are buying these tickets increasingly are saying, well, you know, my job changed or I have to move or I got separated from my girlfriend and we're not going to get married anymore. And we were flying to Timbuktu to get married. So I want a refund on this ticket. And what the advocates are telling them, I mean, I'm sure the airline has told them this too. What the advocates are telling them is you don't seem to understand. You bought a non-refundable ticket. It's like, well, yeah, but something came up and now I can't use the ticket. And the advocate says, you don't seem to understand. You paid bottom of the barrel pricing to get a ticket that was not refundable. This same thing is happening with hotels because people are going in now and they want that advance. They buy that advance purchase price.
Right, right, right.
And that's non-refundable, non-cancelable. Mm-hmm. And then something comes up and they're like, well, how come you won't let me out of this? Someone died or, you know, I've got a serious illness and something, you know, something horrible has happened. But you know what? The reason those things are a little bit cheaper is because they're taking that into account. Some people are not going to show up because they bought a ticket that was not refundable and now something changed and they're not there. And the airline's going to resell that seat or the hotel is going to resell that room. And you can't blame them for that because they sold you a product with a lot of restrictions on it. On some of the webs, I'm sorry, you wanted to say something.
No, that's okay.
I'm scrambling.
I can jump in at any time.
All right. At some of the websites, they're on United, for example. Now, I don't know if they're still doing this because I confess the last time I tested this on a basic economy ticket was a couple months ago. Like I said, I wouldn't buy one, but I acted like I was going to buy one. And before you hit the purchase button, United asked you in the beginning when you clicked basic economy, is that what you want?
Well, let me jump in now.
Okay.
Now, based on your experience and what you've seen, what are the hard line restrictions for a basic economy fare?
Well, the restrictions are that you, with with United, you're not allowed a full-size carry-on.
Okay.
With Delta and American, you are allowed a full-size carry-on. But, and you think, wow, that's a huge advantage. I'll buy my basic economy fare on Delta. Except the basic economy people are the last people to board. I mean, basically, you board after the person who cleans the plane, you know, the person who shuts the door. You're the last people on the plane. So the reality is that in many cases, there won't be room for your carry-on by the time you get on. You know, you've heard before, you're standing in the boarding area and they say, well, you know, we'd like to get 10 or 15 people to check their bags at the gate. So that you can do as a basic economy customer. But if you can check your bag at the gate, but it's going to cost you money.
Now, both United and American board, if you buy the basic economy, you will be the last group to board.
Delta, American, United, you will be the last people on the plane.
Do you have any idea what percentage of the total plane that they're going to sell as basic economy?
I don't, Tom. It varies from route to route. I'm guessing that for routes that are more frequent, there probably are more basic economy fares are, and at routes that are maybe only once a day, there may not be any basic economy at all. If the airline feels comfortable that they don't have to do this. But what this was, Tom, was a way for the airlines to raise fares. And they were pretty open about this. They said this was their goal in the beginning. Because what they did was now the low price that used to be the full service price at $350 is now the basic economy price. And the ticket has gone up. The ticket with all the amenities that you're used to has gone up to $395. So in essence, most people are saying, well, you know, I don't want this basic economy thing. And my plea to you today is just be extra careful. Make sure that what you buy. Here's a guy who I booked a round trip from Raleigh to Kingston, Jamaica on American Airlines through Expedia. The trip is from May 29 to June 3rd. This is from Chris Elliott's site. I was recently told that I got hired at a new job, which will begin in May. Unfortunately, since I've just started at my new job, I will not have any vacation time accrued to take the trip. I called Expedia and American Airlines, and they both refused to refund me my money or give me flight credit. So this is the guy saying, you know, isn't there a way for you to please help me? And the answer kind of sort of is no. There's no substitute for it. You can't help stupid. If you bought a ticket that has all these restrictions on it, and the airline even a second time before you bought it said, are you sure this is what you want? And you clicked yes, then you own it. And now, instead of paying a ridiculous, I might add, $200 change fee to change your ticket and be able to go on it, and let's say it's a $350 ticket, at least you've saved $150 of it as a credit for the rest of the year since you bought the ticket. But if you bought that basic economy ticket, it's all gone. You gambled. You took a 10 to 15% discount and said, I absolutely, positively am going to go. We have customers at Sports Leisure Vacations. We offer cancellation protection or cancellation insurance and international tours. So I have customers who you see a longtime customer, they have to cancel a trip at the last minute, and you know that they're going to take a big hit. You know, the airline ticket's been bought. The first night of the hotel room is not refundable. There probably are some meals, their seat on a motor coach. There's a lot of things. You know, if it's a $3,000 trip and you make a last minute cancellation, you might only see $1,000 of that back because you didn't take any kind of protection. But I have customers who tell me when they get hit with that, they say, you know, I've never purchased insurance or protection. So I knew that someday this would happen and I would take a big hit. But I personally feel that because that stuff isn't all that cheap, I was better off. I know people are making a profit on that, and I just felt like it's the warranty that they want you to take on your washing machine. You know, you pay an extra $100 for 5 years of coverage. If it's a good product, why would you need the extra coverage? So it's a profit center for the manufacturer. And indeed, that's exactly what's happening here.
So a recommendation to somebody who's looking to save a couple of bucks or to plan for that special vacation, and they don't want to get into the buying of the basic economy plus, what recommendations would you give them to try and save some money on their flight?
You want to buy your ticket about 5 to 8 weeks in advance is generally what most people say. That's the point at which the airline realizes that this flight is not selling as well as we had projected. So we're going to cut the fare. There's a flight at 4, a flight at 6, and a flight at 8. And we always get more money for the 6 o'clock one. But gosh, it doesn't seem to be working out that way. Let's even them all out And surely people will start taking the 6 o'clock one if the prices are all the same.
Right.
You might find the prices change and 3 days later you go back and the prices are different again. Because that's the whole dynamic pricing thing. So between 5 and 8 weeks out, I would say, be absolutely certain. The more expensive the ticket, the less chance you want basic economy. And do the math. If you're buying a $600 ticket and you're saving $50, but if something happens, you lose the whole $600. If you buy the $650 ticket and something happens, you lose $200 of it. Or if you're flying on Southwest, you don't lose anything. So if you are a Southwest flyer, why in the world would you ever consider buying a basic economy ticket?
Wait a minute. Southwest has a basic economy?
No, they don't. But their their basic economy already exists, Tom, because of that free baggage rule.
There you go. So everything is basic economy with
Southwest. And when you pay for an upgrade to get your number up or to get in that first 15,
right,
it's less than what you pay to get the aisle seat or the window seat, the economy plus seat on United American Delta. Southwest pitch on their seats is 32 inches. The other guys are 29 to 31.
Well, yeah. But then again, everybody knows, or most that fly have discovered, that Southwest doesn't always go to where you want to go.
That's exactly right. They don't. I mean, they don't serve a lot of the secondary and tertiary cities, which is where, but also on those secondary and tertiary flights, there isn't a basic economy fare often. It's only on the full-size mainline flights that you're looking for that. So just be extra careful. If you're looking at that basic economy thing, stop, take a deep breath, and say, if I don't go, can I afford to lose this entire thing? If something happens and I can't make it and I lose the whole ticket, life will go on. And you'll be okay with that. And if that's not the answer, then basic economy is not for you.
Well, there you go. Okay. Hopefully, we've made you a little smarter, traveler. You got anything else?
I got one little announcement here before we go to break. We announced last week on the program and got a couple, and so I'm still looking for at least one more. I'm looking for an Uber, someone who drives for Uber or Lyft, to be a guest on the show. We want to create a panel of three or four drivers, and so I need one or two more. If you would give us a call right now at 916-921-1530, or 800-834-1530. That's 916-921-1530, 800-834-1530. Or go to travelguysradio.com and just leave us a note there that's with your phone number, and we'll call you back in a couple weeks. Thanks to Linda and Al who called in last week, and so we're looking for a couple more.
All right, coming up next here on the Travel Guys, Clayton Whitehead joins us. We're going to go coast to coast in Canada, or how about a little trip along the Mississippi? A couple of great sports leisure vacations trips we're going to share with you next here on the Travel Guys. But I would walk 500 miles, and I would walk 500 more. It's the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you here every Sunday, 3 to 4. Of course, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations and our special guests that we have on, as well as other information to make you a smarter traveler and entertain, can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com.
Tom, we have a special guest with us here. Well, I guess not all that special. He's been a guest on the program before. Probably will be in the future. It's our road reporter, Clayton Whitehead. Clayton has a couple of trips coming up late summer, early fall. One is a rail adventure. One is a river adventure. They are both trips he has taken before and both adventures he is pretty fond of. So I've invited him here today so he can tell our listening audience and perhaps even some of the folks who are already registered to travel with him a little bit about these adventures. The first one, as I mentioned, is a rail adventure. Clayton, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Well, thanks, Mark and Tom. It's great to be here, even though I'm not that special.
Canada coast to coast.
Now, is this your trip rail is adventure. Really, really special.
Ah, okay.
Canada Coast to Coast is August 16 through 26, 11 days, and as the name indicates, it is Canada from the Atlantic to the Pacific, enjoyed aboard Via Rail, which is the public railroad across our great neighbor to the north.
So you're starting all the way on the other side of the country.
Yes, it takes an entire day, literally an entire day, to fly to Halifax, Nova Scotia, which is over on the east coast of Canada, four time zones away. We'll stay there a couple nights in a hotel to kind of regain our feet, and then The rail adventure will begin in earnest. Now, Via Rail does not have one continuous train this roughly 6,000 miles across the country. Rather, the country is divided into a number of corridors. So it'll be three separate trains that we ride over a number of days. That first train from Halifax to Montreal is about a 30-hour train, one night in a sleeper car. And then we'll stay a hotel night in Montreal, do a little sightseeing, a little eating. And then a day train to Toronto, where we'll sleep another night, do some more sightseeing and eating. And then we get aboard the Grand Western Via, which will take us about 100 hours, four full days and four full nights from Toronto all the way to Vancouver, British Columbia.
Wow, that's a lot of time on the train. You're going to be passing through the Canadian Rockies too.
Absolutely, just the beauty of the country all the way across the board is pretty amazing. From the Lake Country and the Maritime Provinces in the east, across the Great Plains of Canada, through Ontario, Manitoba, and Saskatchewan, and Alberta, and then of course the Rockies start coming into view, and we cross that great mountain chain into British Columbia.
So what tips would you give someone who is traveling? I mean, there are other places in the world where there are long train adventures like this. 100 hours, 4 days is a long time to spend on a train. I'm guessing your folks are going to have accommodations on board. They're not just sitting in a train seat for 4 days.
Absolutely. For our first train and our third train, which include overnights, everyone will be in sleeper accommodations. The roomettes for single travelers are, let's say they're very efficient. They're extremely small. But it is a comfortable bed, and you have a porter that makes it up for you, brings it down each evening and puts it up each morning. The dining car is incredible for those.
Wait a minute. What would be my next thing. I'm captive for 4 days on a train. So what's the food like?
The food is really good. You know, who was it who sang about dinner in the diner? Nothing could be finer.
Uh-huh.
And in Canada, the food is really quite fine. Alberta beef, fresh Atlantic salmon. The chefs on board really do a fine job, and it is three meals a day included.
Before we go any further, folks who are train buffs and ride the train in this country are used to Amtrak, which sometimes shows up and sometimes doesn't, isn't particularly known for its cuisine or its service or anything. It's the scenery that you and your love for trains that makes you ride Amtrak. How is riding Via Rail in Canada different from Amtrak?
Well, I'll say that the floor plan, if you will, of the equipment is very similar. The roomettes, as I was describing, are very small. The double rooms are going to be an upper berth and a lower berth, but you do have a restroom private to your cabin. So that's the floor plan. They're the same. Nothing else is the same. The service, the food, and the views aboard Via are really unsurpassed in North America, and I would hold them up against anything in the world I've ever done by rail. It's just an extraordinary way to travel. Now, it's not inexpensive. This should also be said. It is a very expensive trip across the country, but it's also 11 days long, and
it's a little over $7,000. It includes the air all the way to Canada and then back from Vancouver. Let me ask you before we go on to the river adventure here, what's your favorite part of Canada coast to coast?
Well, I really like the train, obviously. It all revolves around the train. But for those of you who may know Canadian rail history, you know, there was the Canadian National and the Canadian Pacific that were in competition with each other. And the way that CP distinguished themselves was by buying or building these grand hotels all along the way. So in Halifax, we're in the old Canadian Pacific Hotel right by the train station, Nova Scotian. In Montreal, we're at the Queen Elizabeth, which is built on top of the train station. Again, the old CP Hotel. And then the granddaddy of them all, truly, in Toronto is the Royal York.
Yeah.
Right across the street. Staying with that theme, I will say in Vancouver, we're at the currently known as the Fairmont Hotel, which was previously part of the Canadian Pacific chain, though necessarily it's the one out at the airport because we do have a morning flight that brings us
home. In addition to the trains and the the romance of train travel here, the hotels that you're staying in have a distinctive tie to all of the to your travel across the country. That is really pretty cool. It's a little over $7,000. People who would like to go can get in touch with you at the Sports Leisure Vacations office. You could also see the day-by-day itinerary at sportsleisure.com, where you could also see the itinerary for this next trip that Clayton's about to talk about. This one, instead of traveling on the rail, involves traveling along a river.
Absolutely. Mark, you're a big fan of what we call the road trips in the office, most notably Route 66. But my favorite road in America is the Great River Road, which is the north-south, actually dual highway. For most sections of the Mississippi River, it exists on both sides, and it begins in Minnesota and it ends in Louisiana. And the section of it that is the most scenic and that I love the most is the northern section. So we're going to begin with a flight on October the 11th into Minneapolis-St. Paul. We'll spend the first night in the Twin Cities, and then we'll begin a slow crawl down the river all the way to St. Louis, Missouri. We'll be visiting the states of Minnesota, obviously, Illinois, the other I state.
The other I state,
as well as Iowa, the other,
other I state. Wait a minute, how come all those states start with I? I never noticed that before.
I don't know.
In the middle of the country. I'm sure there's a story.
Yeah,
there
must be a story. Also, of course, Wisconsin and Missouri. Some of the highlights is Dubuque, Iowa's oldest city, where we'll visit the Benedictine Monastery, that's the word, and also head out to Dyersville for the Field of Dreams. In Hannibal, of course, the...
Wait a minute. You can't just say Field of Dreams and just move on to the very next
place. Everybody knows what she means.
You're listening to the Travel Guys. We're talking with Clayton Whitehead from Sports Leisure Vacations, and he's telling us about a couple of upcoming trips that he has, and we're talking about a trip along the Mississippi River, and you mentioned Dyersville, Iowa, which is a place that not everybody has heard of. But Dyersville, of course, is where there's a very famous baseball field.
There is a very famous baseball field in Dyersville with a Sacramento connection. If you ever saw the movie, gosh, it must be 30 years old now if it's a day. But the Field of Dreams, which is one of the greatest fantasy/baseball films ever, like, in the universe. But one of the stars of the film was our very own Timothy Busfield.
Yes, absolutely right. I forgot about that.
And all these years later, that little baseball field is still sitting out in the middle of the corn just outside of the village of Dyersville, Iowa, which is just west of Iowa's oldest city, Dubuque, where there's just so much riverboat history and beautiful architecture. In fact, our hotel there, the Hotel Julian, named for the founder of Dubuque, Julian Dubuque, is a historic property over 100 years old, and that really sets the tone for the whole trip. It's these little riverboat towns, these towns that were built at the mercy of the river and to serve the river and the riverboat traffic. And of course, another real highlight is going down to Hannibal, which is the little town where Mark Twain wasn't born, but
that
where he grew
up. That is a cool little town.
Absolutely. And yeah, in what most people find so amazing in Hannibal is how you'll learn how fiction and fact kind of blend in Mark Twain's stories, who also obviously had a big Sacramento connection with his years at the Union. But all of his fictional characters had their true life counterparts in that little town.
For those of you who have moved here in the last two decades, that would be the Sacramento Union, which this used to be a two newspaper town. Go
indeed
ahead.
It did. So all the architecture, the places, the caves, the islands, obviously the river itself, which has a starring role in all of his stories.
So do you get to meet Huck Finn personally? Or?
Well, there might be a photo op. Stay tuned.
You think, what's your... Okay, so I asked you, you're going across... The first adventure you're talking about is taking trains across an entire country, passing through a majestic mountain range, staying in old historic hotels and stuff like that. Now you're along the river. This costs a lot less than rail travel. I mean, it's less than half the cost of the Canadian trip. It's still an eight-day trip in early October. What's your favorite part of traveling along the river?
Oh my gosh.
Getting off the boat.
Well, I've done many a riverboat trip up and down the river, and I love those too, but this has a very different feel, because when you're driving the Great River Road, you're visiting all these little steamboat towns, and they you know, they're populated with people that are just so proud of their history. They want to share it with you. They want you to see what they love. And just because we're from California, we're kind of like rock stars when we pull in. People are amazed that we would come all the way from California to see their little town in the Midwest. There's just something very right about it and very American about it. You know, for some people, it's seeing the Statue of Liberty. For some people, it's going to Washington, D.C. For me, it's going to Iowa. I don't know. There's
there
just something magical about that part.
Isn't that interesting,
of America,
Tom? A guy
me?
From the South, and he likes Iowa.
Well, yeah, I am the one. Yeah, I go to Iowa every year for my birthday. Yeah,
and you've been the Iowa guy at Sports Leisure for many years. All right, let me just. Before we let you go here, you've got these two great adventures. Obviously, you take people all over the place. You're about to head off to Ireland with some Sports Leisure travelers on a trip next week. What's your favorite? What drives you to take people to places and try to make dreams come true? Try to give them a unique adventure. Show them something they haven't seen before. What's...
Well, this is going to sound extremely cliche, but it's what drives me in my heart. And it's world peace. I mean, when we meet our fellow man and woman, whether they live across the street or across a state line or a continental border or even a continent away, when we meet them, we see that we're more alike than we are dissimilar. We see that they're not our enemies, but quite possibly our friends, and we don't drop bombs on them. And that's truly what drives me. It drove me when I started in this industry in the 1980s, when we lived in a very different world than we live in now. Mm-hmm. But now I'm more committed to this belief than ever before. And I think the world needs it. You know, travel just makes the world a very small place. And it makes us all friends. And... yeah, I'm sorry. It's cliche, but world
no.
Peace.
But for all of for all of his flaws and downside, Anthony Bourdain, man who is not with us anymore, who obviously had demons of his own and stuff like that, but whom I got to see talk in person and who espoused some of exactly what you were just talking about, and you could tell when you watched him on television that was what he was about. That he was hoping that it's all about understanding, you know, walking a mile in the other guy's shoes and seeing that, you know, water doesn't flow from his tap. He has to walk half a mile down to the river to get it. And that you know, sometimes it helps to put things maybe in a little bit more perspective. And even here in our own country, when you see how other people live, greater or lesser than it, I think it helps give one some perspective. So thank you very much, Mr. Whitehead. Again, your two trips are?
My two trips are Canada Coast to Coast, August 16 through 26, and Old Man River, October 11th through 18th.
If you would like more information on either one of those, you can go to sportsleisure.com. There's also a link to them at travelguysradio.com, or you can give Clayton a call at the Sports Leisure office. You can get that number off the website. Thank you very much, Mr. Whitehead.
It was a pleasure being here. Thanks so much, gentlemen.
Coming up next on the Travel and Entertainment Guys, we're joined by Richard Lewis. He's going to tell us all about the Broadway series for 2020. That's next here on the Travel Guys. Thanks for joining us. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Again, follow along with all of the things that we talk about on this program, including links to our guests at TravelGuysRadio.com.
Tom, our last guest of the day here, this might be the most exciting for folks who love the theater and live in Sacramento. The executive producer of Broadway Sacramento is on the line with us, Richard Lewis. Richard, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Well, thank you very much, Mark and Tom. It's always a pleasure to be able to speak to you and your audience.
Well, we're kind of a travel show, but we're kind of an entertainment show, and we love supporting the local arts, and you got a really interesting situation. We'll talk about that in a minute, but you have just announced in the last week or so your season's lineup, your shows for next year, and it's a very strong list. So why don't you tell the folks what's coming to Sacramento?
Well, it's very exciting. Broadway on Tour for 2019-2020, which is the only season that we'll be in the auditorium, features a terrific group of productions, and we're very pleased that we got our in particular our Dear Evan Hansen date, and that we have it for 2 weeks.
Awesome.
And but the other shows, it's like you said, it's a very strong season. Christmas Story, the musical, and followed by Dear Evan Hansen for 2 weeks, A Bronx Tale, Bandstand, Come From Away, terrific shows, and we're very proud that we're able to present those shows and in the Memorial Auditorium.
Well, Richard, Come From Away is one of my favorite shows of all time. I just saw Evan Hansen on, paid a ton of money to see it on Broadway this January, and it's also an incredibly wonderful show. Bronx Tale, another show that got some great reviews on Broadway, the Christmas thing. You've really got an extremely strong lineup, and for folks who are out there listening to this, this is about as good as it gets, folks, in Sacramento. I don't want to beleaguer the other years, but this is a really strong schedule, and if you are a fan of Broadway shows, this really is your opportunity to get in, because maybe there'll be some people who might be a little nervous about that Memorial Auditorium thing. So Richard, tell us what's going to happen with where's the progress, what's going to happen? I'm a season ticket holder. I'm just as curious as everybody else.
Well, the first thing is that the city has been very, very extremely cooperative. When the idea of moving to the auditorium for a season came up, I was quite concerned because of the part where the building is from a long time ago. But the city folks and the theatrical consultants and the architects were wonderful in explaining how this is how they would address all of the different issues that I happened to raise. And so, consequently, I was able to book a season for 2019-2020 that I would have been happy to book in the Community Center Theater or anywhere, really. It's going to be terrific. The auditorium itself is undergoing, and actually it's about finished with a $16 million renovation. From my perspective, of course, because I deal with a lot of logistics, mm-hmm. but the issue of the loading dock. And so they've created a temporary loading dock that allows us to unload two trucks at a time, but also the creation of the appropriate theatrical rigging, lighting positions, sound, acoustics, electrical distribution. Very boring words, frankly, but I think when the folks go into the auditorium, if you understand where to look, you're going to notice that the city has, in fact, really done a terrific job working with their architects in creating a building that is a lot more functional. And, you know, for us, again, the seating situation is completely different than what they experience at the Community Center Theater. Many people don't realize that they've been in the auditorium, they've been to a graduation, and they've experienced the flat floor. But the fact is that the entire floor will dip. The entire floor tilts downward and then therefore creates a stage at one end. It's not the same kind of a rake, as we would call it, that you experience in the seating areas of the Wells Fargo Pavilion or the theater, but it will be there. The city has done a terrific job in refurbishing the fixed seating, historical seating, but was all sent out and been reupholstered. The city has invested in a significant number of new theater seats for the main floor itself. These will be actual theater seats, though they are meant to be they are portable in nature, but they do have padded seats and backs, and they have arms. And so it's going to be definitely different than what folks are used to at the Community Center Theater, but it is just for the one season. And we've also made arrangements for the addition of modular restrooms on the 15th Street side. There are a lot of restrooms in the Memorial Auditorium, but they're all downstairs.
Tom, you had a question.
Yeah, Richard, a lot of folks have been to concerts and shows over the years at the Memorial Auditorium, and one of the concerns has always been the acoustics. Did you have an opportunity, or did they accommodate, you know, any kind of renovation on the acoustic side?
Absolutely. In fact, they spent a tremendous amount of money, and that will be a permanent improvement to the facility.
Well, Richard, it sounds like the auditorium is under control. And then, of course, you'll be moving back across the street into a brand new theater and life will be extremely good. Congratulations on securing what really is one of the strongest seasons that I've ever seen. And I look forward to seeing you at the auditorium. I will remind folks who are listening, if you go to travelguysradio.com, you will find a link there to Broadway Sacramento where you can get your season tickets all lined up for you right now. Give the folks a call or you can go online and check it out. Broadway Sacramento. Richard, thank you so much and have a great summer with the Music Circus.
Thank you.
Well, that wraps up another Travel Guys. Remember, visit TravelGuysRadio.com for links to everything.
And remember to dance like nobody's watching. We'll be back next Sunday at 3 o'clock, and we'll see you right here on the Travel Guys.